Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. Can I start with a confession? I've always enjoyed going to church on Christmas morning, but for years it was for the wrong reason. Firstly, my parents are here this morning. Firstly, I went because I had no choice in the matter. Then I went because my friends went, and Christmas Day can be a little bit boring sometimes when you're younger, so I could see my friends, I could hear what they had got as gifts. But mostly I went to feel good, because I thought, well, I've made God happy by going to church on a day that isn't Sunday. A lot of people went to church on Sunday. Some even went to church more than once. And I'm sure that, well, I thought that God would be happy about that. I'm sure that God was glad that they came. But look at me here on a Monday morning. How happy does that make God? Paul said of himself when he was writing to the Philippians, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. And as a child and young man, I thought it of myself. I have confidence in the flesh. In church on Christmas morning, when other children are playing with their toys, been to church four times in the past 24 hours. Of course, that kind of thinking is, or was and is ridiculous, but it doesn't mean it's not common that we think that we're doing God a favour by coming to worship him. Our kind and generous God didn't need me to come and worship him with his church on Christmas morning as a child, as a youth, or even today. He deserves my worship, but he doesn't need it. No, worshipping him on a Sunday, on a Christmas day, or any other day was for my benefit, for our benefit. For in worshipping God, we're doing what we were created to do. In glorifying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we are being who we were made to be. I want, as we heard earlier from Nigel, the reading about the angels bringing good news to the shepherds about the birth of Christ. They went to see him, to marvel at him, to worship him. Why did they go? Did the angels send them there, these dirty, smelly shepherds, to look after Jesus? Did they think, well, the baby needs some company now, someone to keep him company? Did they go to comfort him, to make him happy, to make him glad? Did they shepherds leave like I used to do when I left church, saying, what a good thing I have done? Did they say, what a good thing we've done today? We've made this small child happy. No, when they left, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The angels pointing them towards the manger was not for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was for theirs and for those around them as they left, sharing the good news that they'd heard and participated in. Why? It is because of the child that was born. It's because of who he was. And I want us this morning to look briefly at the opening verses of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The writer gives us a sevenfold description of who this child really is, who Jesus really is. Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, firstly, is the heir of all things, whom he appointed heir of all things. God has appointed Jesus to be heir of all things. God has given everything to his son. The deepest oceans, the furthest stars, Boris Park, London, Paris, Rome, as the famous saying goes. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes it doesn't appear that way. It doesn't appear that everything belongs to Jesus. Our world doesn't always look as though it's under Christ's rule. We see war and famine and selfishness. We see greed and murder, disease and death. We see the effects of sin and the turning away from God. But let us have no doubt that Jesus is the heir of all things. He is the king. He rules and he reigns. Jesus shall reign where the sun doth its successive journeys run, his kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. So firstly, Jesus is the heir of all things, and secondly, he is the creator of the universe, through whom he also made the worlds, the universe. At the Father's command, he brought the universe into being. Through him, God made everything. The Father delegated to the Son the work of bringing the universe into being, and nothing was made except through him. Jesus Christ is the agent of creation and the heir of all things. He was there at the beginning, and he will be there at the end, and he is the Lord of everything in between. The shepherds, when they went to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger, and we here today and tomorrow and every time we worship Christ, we're in the presence of the creator of all things. But the Lord Jesus didn't only create the universe, he also created you and me. Psalm 139 says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And so the shepherds, as they gaze upon the Lord Christ in the manger, owe every part of their physical existence to him. And we, as we remember the wonderful happenings on that first Christmas, and today, owe every part of our physical existence to the Lord Jesus Christ. And hand in hand with that, we hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. In verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory? Jesus is the blazing radiance of the glory of God. What sunlight is to the sun, Jesus is to God. If we want to know what God is like, we can look to Jesus Christ. He is not some blurry image that we see in the news. Have you seen those? They pop up maybe once a year from... Sometimes it's North Wales, other rural areas, where we see a blurry picture of a big cat roaming the countryside. Is this a panther or a tiger? We can't be sure, because whoever took the picture used their Christmas presents from 1993 to take the picture rather than their iPhone. Jesus isn't a picture like that. He is a clear, true picture of God. Here in the manger, or in Mary's arms, is God himself, God made flesh. He is also the exact representation of God's being, the express image of his person. The image created here is the impression made by an engraving tool when it's stamped on into metal in order to make a coin. Have you ever been to the Jorvik Viking Centre in York? I went, it must have been 8 years old. But that's the thing. I can remember the smell, and I can remember that you get a piece of metal and they put this engraving tool on the top, and then you, I can't remember if you hit it with a hammer or there's another form of tool, and it stamps the image exactly onto the coin. The image on the coin is precisely the image on the engraving tool. Jesus Christ is stamped with the image of God, the same essence. And Jesus says this to his disciples in John 14. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? When we see Jesus Christ as he truly is, we have seen as much of God as it is possible for us to see. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator of the universe. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the exact representation of God's being. And he is also the sustainer of all things. The writer to the Hebrews says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. I heard a sermon years ago. It's not the best sermon I've heard, but I still remember one sentence. The preacher was from South Wales, but I don't think he's been to Boris, said this: "When I'm feeling down in the mouth, I go outside, I look up at the stars and think, if God's got enough glue to keep them in place, I'm all right." And you think, oh, God doesn't need glue. Jesus Christ upholds all things. Even now, Jesus is sustaining the whole universe. All things hold together in him and for him and by him. And the shepherds went to the manger and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe they saw Mary holding him in her arms. There's a Welsh carol that reads, "Mair yn dala rhwng ei dwylo, yr un sy'n cadw'r byd rhag cwympo." Mary's holding in her arms the one who holds all of creation together. Jesus sustains the universe. He sustains us. Without him, there would be no other breath for any of us. He is the sustainer of the universe. And he is our savior. When he had by himself purged our sins. The shepherds went to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear from the angels and they rush to see if the good news was true. These men who spent their days and lives caring for lambs came into the presence of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God. He is that Passover lamb, that foreshadowing, that type of Christ that leads us to see who Jesus Christ is truly when the real Passover lamb comes on the Christmas morning. Therefore, purge out the old leaven. How do I say that? Leaven? Leaven, thank you. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Jesus came. He died once for all time. His death on the cross was the complete payment for our sins. And when he dies, he's able to cry out, "It is finished." He has purged us from our sins. I was filthy, he was clean, and he wore my filth so that I could wear his robes of righteousness. Jesus died that he might save us. That's why the angel declares to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." He is our savior, the only savior of the world, the God who put on flesh, joined us in this sin-affected world. He lived the perfect life that we were meant to live and haven't. He died the horrible death that we deserve to die in our place. And he rose again to give us hope, to give us forgiveness, to give us a relationship and a future with God for all eternity. He is our savior when he had by himself purged our sins. And lastly, he is now seated at God's right hand. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down because when he returned to heaven, his work was done. It's satisfying when we have finished a task. Everything is done. We've put everything away and we can sit down and enjoy for a little while at least the fruits of our labour. When the shepherds went to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger, his earthly work was beginning. He was still going to teach, he was going to heal, he was going to show people about God, he was going to take the Old Testament and show people this was all about himself, that this was the great, my English is failing me, crescendo, this was all pointing towards him, him coming to earth, him living for us, dying for us, being raised again. His earthly work was beginning. And we meet here today in the knowledge and in thankfulness that his work is done. Nothing can be added to the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. When it comes to salvation, everything is done for us. We can't add anything. Jesus is sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down in the place of highest honour. At the right hand of God is the highest honour in the universe. And that's where Jesus is today. And since God the Son is at the Father's right hand, we have a friend in heaven who dwells eternally at the throne of God. When we pray, we're talking to the one who is at the very centre of all things. The Israelites would stand outside their tents to watch Moses meet with God in the tent of meeting. We meet with God the Father in Jesus Christ, the true tabernacle. The one who saw fit to dwell among us is willing to dwell within us through his Holy Spirit. This God who loved us enough to come into the earth, to live and see the devastating effects of sin. This one, who God has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who was the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, the one who has himself purged our sins, the one that is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. If we put our faith in him, he is willing to condescend to dwell within even people like us. It is good to meet this Christmas morning, to worship, to marvel at this wonderful truth, that the God who graciously and for their benefit invited by a host of his angels, the shepherds, to see. I butchered that sentence, didn't I? The God who graciously, for the benefit of the shepherds, sent a host of angels to invite the shepherds to see and to worship his son, invite us to see him, to trust him, to know him, to worship him, to enjoy him, to willingly bow to our King for our good and for his glory. And he doesn't need us to do that this morning. God isn't happy that we've come. We haven't made him more glad that we're here this morning. But it is a privilege and a gift and an honour to be able to sing the praises of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ together today.